podcast is powered by Spirit of Women and part of the regular monthly health promotion series. To find out more about Spirit of Women, your local exclusive Spirit hospital, and simple ways to take action for your health, visit us at spiritofwomen.com. Today's focus is on cardiometabolic syndrome, and we're discussing its connection to both diabetes and heart disease, which are two of the most common and important chronic diseases today. My name is Melinda Kinzer with Spirit of Women, and today I'm joined by Dr. Robert Stauffer, MD, at the Freeman Heart and Vascular Institute from one of our Spirit hospitals in Joplin, Missouri. Welcome and good morning, Dr. Stauffer.
Morning.
And also joining Dr. Stauffer this morning is Kira Reichardt. She is a cardiologist specialist nurse from Freeman as well. And we thank you as well for joining us this morning, Kira. All right, and also joining us this morning, very happy to have Dr. Peter Sheehan, senior faculty at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. He's also the chair of the American Diabetes Association Cardiometabolic Risk Initiative. Good morning, Dr. Sheehan. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning. I'm very happy to be here.
And our final guest today is Tricia Kwilinski from Women Heart. Tricia is a support coordinator for Women Heart for the past 6 years and a champion speaker on the behalf. And Tricia brings a special quality to our podcast today, has both heart disease and type 2 diabetes, along with metabolic syndrome. And Tricia, thank you so much for joining us and bringing your perspective today.
Oh, you're welcome, and it's a pleasure.
Great. Cardiometabolic risk is not a disease itself, but rather a relatively new term that's been used to describe a collection of problems that together provide a good indicator of risk for diabetes, heart disease, stroke, and other cardiovascular conditions. Metabolic syndrome increases the risk of type 2 diabetes, which is the most common type. And about 47 million adults in the U.S., about 25%, have cardiometabolic syndrome, and those numbers are continuing to grow. An increasing number of people with this condition is connected to the rise in the obesity rates among adults. So now let's go to our panel of experts this morning and get a little more information. Dr. Sheehan, can you tell me what is metabolic syndrome?
Well, metabolic syndrome is a term used largely by cardiologists referring to risk factors for heart disease, such as central obesity, a thick waistline, high triglycerides or simple fats, low HDL or good cholesterol, borderline blood sugar, and borderline blood pressure. At the American Diabetes Association, we're expanding that to calling it cardiometabolic risk. That is, risk of heart disease and diabetes. And we've expanded it to all risk factors. Now, you have some risk factors that you cannot control. We call these non-modifiable. And that is your age, your ethnicity. Certain ethnic groups have higher risks of diabetes and heart disease. Your gender, and your family history. You can't do anything about those, but they are important. And we have Elliot Joslin, who founded the famous diabetes clinic in Boston, said, the genes load the gun, but the lifestyle pulls the trigger. So what we're emphasizing is the lifestyle and controlling other risk factors that are within our domain, that is being overweight, having a high blood pressure, lack of physical activity, smoking. These are things that people are empowered to take care of to lower their risk of diabetes and heart disease.
And so a lot of those things, as you're telling us, are things that we can control, but so often things do. You know, people say, well, that's not really going to happen. Dr. Stauffer, is there some other risk factors and some things that we can be aware of and things, as Dr. Sheehan had said, things that we should be trying to do to try to avoid? And is the syndrome itself, is it always there once we have it, or can we reverse it?
This is Kyra Reichardt. I think that there are things that we can do to
reverse it as far as, you know, increasing our physical activity and decreasing our weight, and as far as trying to prevent it as well, getting because there's a lot of patients out there that are on medications for diabetes that if as they lose weight and increase their activity, we can bring them off of some of those medications as well as some of the hypertensive medications as well. So I think that, you know, although people do have metabolic, once they get metabolic syndrome, we can reduce their risk factors by doing those things.
And Tricia, I'd just like to ask you, as the coordinator and going through and having the metabolic syndrome, tell me some of the things that you've personally done that have been a success for you.
Well, first of all, is with me being a 59-year-old postmenopausal woman, is I do not smoke. However, I do have a family history of coronary artery disease and diabetes within the family. And what I'm trying to do right now is exercise and eat a low-fat, low-carb diet. I do have a history, as the doctor had mentioned, of high triglyceride levels. I do have what you call is an apple syndrome, which is the fat in the waistline. So, of course, watching your diet and exercising is very important to keep both the cardiac disease at a low risk and also the diabetes.
Great. Dr. Sheehan, what are some of the signs and symptoms if someone listening today is like, I've heard about this, but I don't really know. Obviously, we probably want to see their doctor first, but what are some of the things and how? What are the signs and symptoms?
Well, the problem with the cardiometabolic risk is there really are no symptoms. One of the signs, as mentioned, is essential obesity. So for a man, a waist line greater than 40 inches, and for a woman greater than 36 inches, that would be a sign that you probably are on your way to this issue. But unfortunately, people don't have really glaring signs. Now, you know, poor Tim Russert, our famous journalist who had a sudden death, he, in all likelihood, had this cardiometabolic risk and died of a sudden heart attack. We have 57 million people in this country with pre-diabetes. That is, if they do nothing within the next 10 years, probably 30 to 50% will become diabetic. And this is a big national public health issue right now. What was shown in a study performed by the National Institutes of Health, that by adopting healthy lifestyle, nothing drastic, now, a modest weight loss of about 7% and 30 minutes of walking every day prevented the development of diabetes in 58% of the people. So this is what we're advocating. And I think the key component is the walking. People say no pain, no gain. But in fact, it's just gentle, modest exercise, burning up a few extra calories. That is the healthy lifestyle choice, as well as, you know, a reasonable diet, low in fat, low in carbohydrates.
You're speaking about a diet, and you hear so much about, okay, you're talking about dieting, that's a great way. And how does the glycemic index play into and help along with trying to reverse some of these effects?
Well, the glycemic index is a term that refers to how potent something in the diet is in raising the blood sugar. So, for example, simple carbohydrates like bread and pasta have a higher glycemic index than complex carbohydrates like legumes or beans and nuts. But it's really individualized, and we don't like a one-size-fits-all kind of diet anymore. I think people have to choose a diet based on what they want. Do they want to lower their cholesterol or triglyceride? Do they want to lose weight? Do they want to restrict sodium because they have high blood pressure? So these are things that really are best left to the professionals, the dietitians and nutritionists out there, and individualize the person's diet.
Absolutely. And so let's go back and talk a little bit with Tricia. Tricia, tell me, you mentioned some of the things that you're currently doing. What are some other tips, and or maybe even just restate the things that if you have been diagnosed or you think that you might have the risk factor for cardiometabolic risk. Tricia, what would you suggest?
Well, again, is the very cheap way of getting your exercise is getting a good pair of walking sneakers and going out there and starting slowly. First of all, starting maybe, 15, 20 minutes, and then building yourself up in minutes as far as walking is concerned. And in the event, I know here in Buffalo, New York, the weather could be a little severe during the wintertime. So what we all do is we hit the malls. And the enclosed malls are open at 6 a.m. for people to walk. In addition, is getting a good dietitian. I have seen one, and of course, as the doctor had indicated, is I have tried many diets, but having someone that can work one-on-one with you really can help out, and he is a diabetic educator as well. So he has helped me out. With my job and being on the go all the time, keeping in the car simple fruits or vegetables instead of candy or cookies, these have helped me out tremendously. And, of course, the visits to your endocrinologist and also your cardiologist are very, very important.
Wonderful. And Dr. Sheehan, any other tips that you would offer to people who are just not sure and add to what Tricia has said?
Yeah, I would underscore what Tricia said, is that simple exercise, like a walking regimen, 30 minutes a day is crucial. And then the diet, not to eat more fruits and vegetables, but to exchange fruits and vegetables for other unhealthy things. And there's research that has shown that actually lowers blood pressure as well as give weight loss. And we have, I think, a largely female audience, which is the philosophy of the American Diabetes Association. We want to target women with this cardiometabolic risk because women do worse than men when they develop diabetes or heart disease. They don't do as well. And the other thing is that we know that women control households. So if we can convince women about healthy lifestyle, we can convert an entire family. So
right.
We really appreciate this opportunity to address this audience.
Well, we really appreciate your expertise.
Well, I kind of agree with them as far as, getting people onto a good exercise program. Here in the Midwest, we have a lot of truckers that come through. And one of the biggest things that we've been working with them is, because they have a very sedentary lifestyle, is that when they do have stops that they, start increasing their activity by just walking around their truck three or four times at each stop. So not only is it just, physical activity that you do over a 15-minute period a day every day, but if you increase your activity, throughout the day and doing more than what you did the day before, that will also help, your activity level. And really just working on that, central obesity and trying to decrease inches, not necessarily weighing yourself every day, but cutting back on your, total calorie intake and increasing your activities, what we're really pushing, as well as getting with your physician and making sure that, you have your regular checks for your cholesterol here at our facility. So those are things that we're really trying to push here and watching their blood pressure and bringing those down as well.
All right. Well, again, there's so much of it happening across the country. And it sounds like, Tricia, that able to keep things under control. And again, I just want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. And Dr. Sheehan, any last words and or summary points that you would like to make sure that the listeners today take away?
Well, in the spirit of the patriotism and public concern that we heard from the president and from others about getting our economy back in order, I think this is a responsibility that people have for the public good to maintain their health, to adopt a healthy lifestyle. I'll get a traffic ticket if I don't wear my seatbelt. And I wouldn't mind seeing people get a ticket if they don't do their 30 minutes of walking every day. I think I think people should get motivated and do this, and it's for the health and well-being of our entire country that Americans adopt a healthy lifestyle.
All right. And Kara Reichart with Freeman Health System there at the Freeman Heart and Vascular Institute, any last words that you'd like to make recommendations as well?
Oh, you know, I think that everybody's pretty much covered everything. I think that, you know, just working on, you know, lifestyle changes is the biggest thing that we need to work on, and it's a day-by-day process. You know, it takes 30 days to create a habit. And if you can stick with something for 30 days and continue that on, I think that you're better off, and we have to take this day-by-day and, you know, get the word out and, you know, grab a partner. You know, don't do it by yourself. Use your family or your friends and everybody band together and keep moving forward.
Kyra, I'd like to know, so if I have the risk factors, what are the steps that I need to follow to begin correcting the cardiometabolic risk?
Well, I think the first thing you need to do is get in contact with your family physician or your local nurse practitioner, depending upon the location where you're at. If you don't have a physician, most hospitals have a physician referral line that you can get in contact with. Just to go in and get a good physical evaluation, and then they can start setting you up with, you know, the lab test and the, you know, and checking your blood pressure and your lipids and, you know, checking you to see if you have diabetes and those types of things in order to get you jump-started into a healthy lifestyle. A lot of people need to get out there and have a good physical. I know that, you know, we see a lot of patients that are don't like to go to physicians, but, you know, it's very good to get a good exam before you start any type of physical activity and to see if you have any limitations to what type of physical activity, you know, such as arthritic-type problems, and get suggestions on how you can go about increasing your activity on a daily basis.
And, again, the suggestion is, how would I go about doing that?
You can either call your, you know, a lot of hospitals have a physician referral hotline as to who's accepting patients for what insurances they have. I know sometimes it's very hard to try and find a physician that meets your needs, but they should have a listing of physicians that are available, family physicians that are available to connect you with. Sometimes if they, you know, if any of the screening areas they're having fairs or things like that where you can go in and have pre-screening tests, they can also make suggestions of what physicians they might refer you to for those as well.
Wonderful. Great ideas. Some actions for us to take away today to get on the road to a healthy lifestyle and move forward.
This is Dr. Sheehan. Well, I think the most important thing for people to do is to get an assessment of their cardiometabolic risk. What is their risk of developing diabetes and heart disease? And that would include getting a physical exam from a primary care doctor or nurse practitioner or health professional, and blood work, blood testing to see the cholesterol, the both the good and bad, the triglycerides, the blood sugar, and other determinants of the risk. But it does require moving into the healthcare system.
Wonderful. That wonderful tips of advice for us to take away today.
And if I could just add one more thing, this is Tricia Swiklinski, is as a member and coordinator of Women Heart, is the patients should not feel that they are alone. And that's why we have support groups such as Women Heart we have speakers coming in, such as dietitians, physicians, et cetera, and you think that you may be alone, but you're really not alone. So joining a group in your area, and of course, as a woman health spokesperson, there are a variety of different support networks within the entire United States.
Fabulous. That is great information. So you're not alone. Remember that. So some takeaways that we would want to remember is get to a healthcare physician, call your hospital helpline. You're not alone. And I think that off to a healthy lifestyle, making some simple changes. I would like to thank all of our guests today for joining us on our podcast. Dr. Robert Stauffer, who is a cardiologist from Freeman Heart and Vascular Institute at the Freeman Health System in Joplin, Missouri, which is a Spirit of Women Network hospital. Also, a cardiac nurse practitioner, Kyra Reichardt, thank you for joining us. And we would like to say thank you to Tricia Kwilinski from Women Heart. She's a champion speaker and support coordinator for Women Heart. And finally, Dr. Peter Sheehan, senior faculty member at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. He's the chairman of the American Diabetes Association's Cardiometabolic Risk Initiative. This podcast is powered by Spirit of Women and part of a regular monthly health promotion series. To find out more about Spirit of Women, your local exclusive Spirit hospital, and simple ways for you to take action for your health, visit us at spiritofwomen.com.